Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation: the Vishnu Murtis all had eternal, unlimited forms, full of knowledge and bliss, and existing beyond the influence of time. Their great glory was not even to be touched by the jnanis engaged in studying the Upanishads. Purport: mere Shastra Gyan or knowledge in the Vedas does not help anyone understand the personality of Godhead. Only one who is favored or shown mercy by the Lord can understand Him. This is also explained in the Upanishads, Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medasha Na Bahuna Shrutena Yam Evaisa Vrinute Tena Labhyas Dasyesa Atma Vivrinute Tanum Swam. The Supreme Lord is not obtained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, or even by much hearing. He is obtained only by one whom He Himself chooses. To such a person He manifests His own form. One description given of Brahman is Satyam Brahma Anandarupam. Brahman is the absolute truth and the complete Ananda or bliss. The forms of Vishnu, the Supreme Brahman, were one, but they were manifested differently. The followers of the Upanishads, however, cannot understand the varieties manifested by Brahman. This proves that Brahman and Paramatma can actually be understood only through devotion, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Graya, Bhagavatam 11.14.21. To establish that Brahman indeed has transcendental form, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives various quotations from the Shastras. In the Shvetashvaratara Upanishad 3.8, the Supreme is described as Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. He whose self-manifested form is luminous like the sun and transcendental to the darkness of ignorance. Ananda Matram Ajaram Puranam Ekam Santam Bahuda Drishyamanam. The Supreme is all blissful with no tinge of unhappiness. Although He is the oldest, He never ages. And although one, He is experienced in different forms. Sarve Nitya Shashvatascha Dehastasya Paratmanaha. All the forms of that Supreme Person are eternal. Mahavaraha Purana. The Supreme Person has a form with hands and legs and other personal features, but His hands and legs are not material. Bhaktas know that the form of Krishna or Brahman is not at all material. Rather, Brahman has a transcendental form, and when one is absorbed in it, being fully developed in bhakti, one can understand Him. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. The Mayavadis, however, cannot understand this transcendental form, for they think that it is material. Transcendental forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His person are so great that the impersonal followers of the Upanishads cannot reach the platform of knowledge to understand them. Particularly, the transcendental forms of the Lord are beyond the reach of the impersonalists, who can only understand through the studies of the Upanishads that the absolute truth is not matter and that the absolute truth is not materially restricted by limited potency. Yet, although Krishna cannot be seen through the Upanishads, in some places it is said that Krishna can in fact be known in this way. O Upanishadam Purusham, He is known by the Upanishads. This means that when one is purified by Vedic knowledge, one is then allowed to enter into devotional understanding. Mad bhaktim labhate param. Tatradadana manayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyantyatmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grihitaya. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has learned from the Vedanta Shruti. Bhagavatam 1.2.12. The word Shruta Grihitaya refers to Vedanta knowledge, not sentimentality. Shruta Grihita is sound knowledge. Lord Vishnu, Brahma thus realized, is the reservoir of all truth, knowledge, and bliss. He is the combination of these three transcendental features, and he is the object of worship for the followers of the Upanishads. Brahma realized that all the different forms of cows, boys, and calves transformed into Vishnu forms were not transformed by mysticism of the type that a yogi or demigod can display by specific powers invested in him. The cows, calves, and boys transformed into Vishnu murtis or Vishnu forms were not displays of Vishnu maya or Vishnu energy, but were Vishnu himself. The respective qualifications of Vishnu and Vishnu maya are just like those of fire and heat. In heat, there is the qualification of fire, namely warmth, and yet heat is not fire. The manifestation of the Vishnu forms of the boys, cows, and calves was not like the heat, but rather like the fire. They were all actually Vishnu. Factually, the qualification of Vishnu is full truth, full knowledge, and full bliss. Another example may be given with material objects, which may be reflected in many, many forms. For example, the sun is reflected in many water pots, but the reflections of the sun in many pots are not actually the sun. There is no actual heat and light from the sun in the pot, although it appears as the sun. But each and every one of the forms of Krishna assumed was fully Vishnu. We should discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily as much as possible, and then everything will be clarified. For Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literature, Nigamakalpataror Galitam Phalam. It was written by Vyasadeva Mahamuni Krite when he was self-realized. Thus, the more we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the more its knowledge becomes clear. Each and every verse is transcendental.
Thank you very much, Dabha Prabhu. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumlitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Jena Putale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pamangalanga Vaitekiri Yakripata Mambandi Shri Guru Dinatarina Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastapatale Shimati Tamala Krishna Vasamti Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastagutale Shimari Bhakti Vidanda Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gorvani Vicharine Vishesha Shinavati Paskata Tesatari. So this is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada gives a long purport to this verse just to explain this great mystic, magic movements of Krishna by expanding himself into so many Vishnumurti. The power of the human beings usually extends to only 9 expansions. The yogi, they can expand themselves into 9 times, like Kardama Muni did. But we could see here that the Lord, he could expand himself in so many, many, many forms. And they were not just the energy of the Lord, but they were the Lord himself, like is described in the purport. They were not just like the sunrise and the sunshine and the sun itself. One is the energy and the other one is the energetic. So those murti, Vishnu murti form, they were all energetic, the source of the Lord, non-different from the Lord. So Lord Brahma found it very difficult to understand, even though the Vedas, they are actually from him. He's the catalyst, original propounder, preceptor, propounder of the Vedas, four heads, to discharge the knowledge of his creation. But yet, Srila Prabhupada in the purport says that even by studying the Vedas, one will find very difficult to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his intricacy, his transcendence, his depth, because he's a dakshaja. Even the Lord himself, he cannot understand himself. He goes, it's like he has to come as a Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand the female aspect of himself. Because the Lord is no male, no female, but at the same time is both. But there is a part of him that he's very attached to, and that part of him loves him so much, which is the female energy of the Lord, with Srimati Radharani. And even Srimati Radharani doesn't understand the depth of the love of Krishna. Has no limit. So, even Lord Brahma, he admitted himself after being baffled and defeated by this pastime, he came and he started his prayers. What was it? Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto govindam mahadipurusham tamaham bhajami. My dear Lord, you cannot be understood even by the greatest scholar of the Vedas. And who is this greatest scholar? It's Lord Brahma. He's the teacher, the father. Aham bija pradapita. Lord Brahma is actually the father of all the living entities, the giver of life, knowledge, the giver of karma, ability, forms, all the facility that we use in this world that are actually created by Lord Brahma, our Father, our Creator. But he himself cannot understand Krishna. Videshu durlabham, adurlabham. Very difficult. But you can be understood only Atma Bhakta, such a soul who is a Bhakta. In some degree, we can understand Krishna as a devotee. There are so many references. I mean, Lord Krishna says in the Gita that Vidascha Sarve Raham Ima Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vidivacharam. We do agree that by studying the Vedas, we can have a glimpse of the activities and the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even at the Vedas, even by studying the Vedas, like Prabhupada closed the purport here by saying, well, that's why we study Srimad Bhagavatam every day. We should discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily as much as possible. And that everything will be clarified. For Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literatures. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. It was written by Vyasadeva, Mahatma Muni. Mahamuni krite. When he was a self-realized, the more we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the more its knowledge become clear. Each and every verse is a transcendental. But even by studying Bhagavatam, studying the Upanishad, we read, you know, from the beginning, It's a difficult. That's why it's a very long journey. That's why Lord Krishna says, Bhavanam Jamanam Mante, Jamanam Mam Prapadyate, Vasudeva Sarvameti, Samahatma Sudurlaba. Such a soul is very rare. After so many births of Vedic study, Bahu means many, many. Bhavanam Jan means birth. After so many births, one may be. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashidyata adisiddhaye. Among so many men, maybe few, they will understand me. And amongst those, maybe one will achieve perfection. So how difficult. But then yet, we can actually achieve the goal of life just by bhakti. So jnana on its own, it has no strength to very quickly achieve the understanding of the tattva, of the Supreme Lord. And karma as well, karma yoga. Of course, jnana yoga is inferior to karma yoga. Jnana, you know, we can be lost for many, many births to try to understand the intricacy of the scriptures, of the Vedas. But then there are so many questions. So you still need a help from a guru, from a sadhu. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam every day, that by discussing Bhagavatam, things they become, Prabhupada says, we don't reach the understanding, but things they become clearer and clearer. So jnana yoga, it's for the for those who don't really want make an endeavor to perform action in Krishna consciousness. Karma yoga, they say, Lord Krishna, he takes the student in the Bhagavad Gita. If you cannot do bhakti yoga, you do karma yoga. If you cannot do karma yoga, you do jnana yoga. If you cannot do that, you can do Sankhya yoga. So he gives a safety net according to our ability. So a jnana yogi, it's just knowledge. But what are you going to do with the knowledge? If there is no application or realize the knowledge or application and induction, then it will be futile. So therefore, karma yoga. What is karma yoga? Karma yoga, it's action in Krishna consciousness without desiring to enjoy the fruit. Karma yoga, it's when we do something and we are attached to the action. But we are not attached to the fruit. That is why it's very synonymous and almost very similar to bhakti yoga. Because in bhakti yoga you also don't enjoy the fruit. So, but when jnana yoga and karma yoga, they are together equals to bhakti yoga. I was interesting seminar from Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Vrindavan. Bhakti, it's when you are the little difference between bhakti yoga and karma yoga, even though Lord Krishna, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who sees the difference between the two is a neophyte person. Right? He says that. You know, there is no difference. It's a very high stage, karma yoga. Let's not confuse the karma yoga with karma activity. Karma means there is a karma activity which means you are not attached to the action. Like people, you know, they don't like to work, but they like the fruit of the work. That's karma. Karma yoga, means you're attached to the action, but not to the fruit. In other words, we have devotees, many devotees, they are exalted because they are on karma yoga. They are attached to their service. But they offer the fruit of their service to Krishna. Example, you know, if someone is attached to his position as a GBC or president or book distributor, like me, I am probably I'm attached to it, but it's a good or it's not good. Lord Krishna says in the beginning, you know, that's good. You're attached to your service, that's fine. But bhakti yoga means when you don't identify. You do the service, you don't identify with the service, you're not very attached to it, and you're not attached to the fruit of that service. The example, we can give some example. Otherwise, you know, we can create a misunderstanding here. Lord Brahma, very much attached to his service of creation. So Krishna made him, he became a little bit proud. So Krishna gave him the complete understanding of this bhakti. What does that, that's why he was praying afterwards. He understood the signs of bhakti. And then to redeem himself from the offense, what did he do? Lord Krishna took away his service as the creator. And he put him in a different situation, made him taking birth in an ordinary Muslim family as Haridas Thakur. There you are. Give up your great work. Have a break from your great work and chant Hare Krishna. So you could see here that it's not really what we do that gives us the understanding of God. You could be, I was temple president many, many years ago, but then I changed my service. But it's actually the surrender. Krishna can put you in a situation today, then he takes it away, and then he can give you a different situation. So at every level of our lives, it demands the new you. Does it make sense? Every time we try to advance, we have to change ourselves. It's not what we do, because Krishna says, I am the ability in man. Now, the ability for Lord Brahma to create, what was it? Was it Krishna himself? He empowered them. I was disabled to distribute books about 6-7 weeks ago. I was attached to my service, but I had some realizations. So what is bhakti? It's when you do something or when you are not capable to do it. And so Krishna took me away from that situation, even though I'm attached to it. But does that mean devotional service stops? No. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita he says, one who sees the inaction in action and the action in inaction, then that person he sees. It's a very confusing verse, isn't it? It took me 20 years or 25 years to understand that verse. I remember 1980-81, Bhagavan was giving a class and he was talking about that verse. He said himself, he was a guru, a spiritual master, zonal acharya of Europe. And yet, he was proclaiming in Vila Vrindavana, I am worshipped as a guru, but still, even of myself, I can't understand the meaning of this verse. One who sees action in inaction, and inaction in action, he really sees. Of course, Prabhupada elaborates a little bit. Then I heard this seminar of Tamal Krishna Maharaj talking on that verse in Vrindavan, and it gave me some light, some understanding. Yes, that's what it means. So I was doing some books for many years, then I was taken away from that situation. That means the inaction, my inaction now, is still inaction. Because Krishna can take away your service, but he cannot take away, it will not hamper your surrender. Like, for example, Mother Kalangana, she was doing sweets for many, many years, but then due to the precarious situation of the body, she couldn't do anymore. So does that mean that action stopped? Devotional service of Mother Kalangana stopped? No, but she chanted Hare Krishna, she was hearing, chanting, and so sometimes the inaction, it can be also a devotional service. If you Krishna, that's why karma yoga means you're attached to the activity, and then we think, oh, this is my Sanatana Dharma, my constitutional situation. Sometimes a GBC could think, oh, maybe I'm a GBC eternally in the spiritual world, or I'm a temple president. I mean, I remember I was having breakfast with Shruti Dharma. He said, I like preaching. I do as a duty, but not really attached to it. And I understood, that's actually bhakti yoga. Karma yoga is when you are attached to something, but not to the fruit, to the service very, very much, but that service can be changed. If Krishna takes away the service of Govinda, of doing Harinam, of course you will be very upset. It's something, you know, that brings joy, life and soul. But then again, Krishna decides, you know, what we are the best at. Sometimes he changes our situations. But even though the desire increases, then, you know, you go back to it. You know, when it's like when you get sick, you can't do it. But, you know, the seva, the bhakti just carries on. Like, you know, he has increased my desire to carry on doing it. But it doesn't mean that I am identified, you know, to the activity of book. That's what I'll be doing for the rest of my eternity. Krishna, you know, empowered Arjuna to create a havoc in the battle of Kurukshetra. But the same Arjuna was powerless when Krishna left the planet. He took away the power. He couldn't even defeat a bunch of cowboys. So you could see that Krishna, he can change your situation. He changed the situation of Lord Brahma. Sometimes great gopis, they come, you know, and they do something in this world which is pretty much unconventional in the spiritual world. Ramananda Roy or Lalita Sakhi, they come and they take some government job, like Ramananda Roy. He came as a sudra, and he was doing administration. Now, what a gopi is got to do with that administration? So we can see that bhakti is always a superior to any other activity, to the external activity. The surrender that the devotee has, he always does what Krishna wants him to do, or she to do, and it is the internal connection, the internal bhava, the internal love that Krishna is very much interested. And that comes with the surrender. So, it's difficult to understand the Lord just by reading Vedas. Difficult to understand the Lord by activities, karma yoga. But bhakti yoga is actually the answer. It is actually the greatest study to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these are a few thoughts on this verse. All those great personalities of the Vishnumurti, they were all none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And Lord Brahma became bewildered. So this is the way how Krishna protected the calves, the cows, even though they entered into this cave, and apparently they were like dead or asleep or whatever. But the devotees, they fear no death, they fear no evil when they are with the Lord, because they always feel the protection of the Lord. There is a special prayer here which is very nice. I really like it very much. I used to pray when I was a young boy. And this is the mood of the calves, the cows and the cowboys, very much appropriate. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, my shepherd. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your protection and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in your house forever, for you are my shepherd. These are beautiful, because that's how the calves and the cowboys and they saw Lord Krishna as their shepherd. Even though it's a prayer from, do you know who prayed, who made this prayer? Who fought against Goliath? Goliath. David, that's the one. That's a prayer of David to protect the people of the village. There was this huge giant, Goliath. And this young man was a very small boy. What a chance he had, you know, to defeat this demon, this Goliath who wanted to destroy the village. But he took shelter of the Lord. And he uttered this prayer. And he won. All the people said, oh, this young boy is so fearless. Of course, the fear is there, you know, when you find an opponent bigger than you, stronger than you. Here in the context of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, the supreme creator, the most powerful, you know, these cowboys and cows and calves, they had no chance. So they were taken away by this powerful personality, stolen away by his pride. But still the Lord, he protect them. The Lord, he protect all his calves. And that's why they returned home and dwelling into the house of the Lord, because he's none other their eternal shepherd. So we'll stop the class here, and we ask if there is any questions or any comment we have.